Well, good morning. I hope I can preach. The last song brought me to a little bit of wetness flowing down my eyes. It's good to sing the praises of Christ and the glories we have in Christ, and pray that the Holy Spirit moves in your hearts and your minds as well in the midst of our worship. We were made to worship, and it's good to be amongst his people in worship. We're in Luke 8 this morning. If you have a Bible with you, you can use a pew Bible around you. If you do not, we're in Luke 8, verses 22 through 25 this morning, found on page 865 in the pew Bible. For those of you who like to take notes, the passage that we're going to read through is also found in Mark chapter 4 and in Matthew 8. So Mark 4 and 8 for if you're going to read that rendition of the story as well from the other authors. But this morning we begin with a question. Where is your faith when the storms of life are too much to handle? One of our favorite verses as Christians, so we use it in our call to worship, is Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then towards the end of that psalm that we use for our assurance of grace, we have those great words, "Be still and know that I am God." Amen. Truths we believe, truths that we learn in a classroom setting of worship and Bible study. But the question before us, are they realities that we cling to and hold to through our faith when the storms of life come? In an article, John Bloom, writing for Desiring God, he says, "Soldiers don't learn to fight in a classroom. They learn about fighting in a classroom. And learning about fighting is crucial to successful fighting. But learning about fighting is not the same thing as fighting. Soldiers never really learn to fight until they're forced to actually do it." In the same way, he says, disciples of Jesus don't learn to walk by faith in the classroom. They learn about faith in classroom. They learn about faith in sermons and conferences and books and articles and videos. And learning about faith is crucial to a successful walking by faith. But learning about walking by faith is not the same thing as walking by faith. Disciples never learn to walk by faith until they're actually forced to do it. He continues, he says, God often takes us out of the classroom into the chaotic, into the disorienting, to the disturbing, to the desperate violence on the field of spiritual battle, where we encounter internal and external enemies too powerful for us. He'll bring us up against obstacles too big for us, problems too complex and difficult for us, burdens so far beyond our strength at times will despair even life itself. It's in these desperate places that we learn what walking by faith really means. And so we're asking this morning, where is your faith when the storm that comes up in your life is too much to handle? There's a thought out there that God won't give us too much to handle. It's spoken with good intention, but it's taken from a verse that's actually talking about temptation. In 1 Corinthians 10, it says, "No temptation has seized you, which is not common to men. God is faithful, and he won't tempt you beyond your ability, and he'll provide a way out." That's dealing with temptations. But we will go through experiences that are too much for us to handle on our own, to expose where our faith is, to expose the idols that we hold on to that we don't see, storms meant to drive us to the Lord Jesus, who overcomes our tribulations. These are just some of the things we'll look at the passage this morning, to see that Jesus is a very present help in trouble. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know your creation very well. You understand that it's fallen and under the consequences of sin. We experience much heartache and tears, whether wrestling with things inside of us or things outside of us. We hold on to the promises, Lord, that you are sovereign and that you lead your people as a shepherd. And Lord, we hear the promises that you are a very present help in trouble. And perhaps often we say that, we learn it, we memorize it, but when the storm or the trouble comes, you ask us, where is your faith? So this morning, Lord, you know the storms that each of us face and are facing and will face. Lord, help us, give us a faith that will anchor into you, realizing that you have us in your hands and that you will never let us go. Though you'll walk us through all things, hard things that are too much for us to handle, to a weight of glory for all eternity. So Lord, we pray that you send your Spirit to speak to our hearts and our minds this morning. It's been so good to worship and remember the promises and the God who we worship. So Lord, as we look into your word, teach us again. Teach us for the first time, perhaps, who Jesus is, and that we would lock our faith unto him. We pray these things in his mighty name. Amen. So Luke 8, we'll begin at verse 22. It says, one day Jesus got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, let's go across to the other side of the lake. So they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on a lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. They went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, who then is this, that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him? This ends the reading of God's holy, inerrant, unchanging word this morning. So where is your faith when the storms come into your life and are too much to handle? Well, the first thing we see is Jesus is the one who takes us through the storms to reveal our weakness and need. Perhaps you noticed in our text that says Jesus is the one who got into the boat. He said, let's go on a boat ride. Let's go to the other side of the lake. This is Jesus' idea. He's not aware about what's to happen. He knows full well that he's leading his disciples into a situation where all the classroom studies they have received from him and from others about faith, he's leading into this storm so that they would see and feel a real-life experience of what it means to walk by faith. Jesus leads them into this storm. And storms were common on the Sea of Galilee. It was normal because of the lay of the land. John MacArthur in his study, his commentary, helps us to understand. You have the big Mediterranean Sea here that's on sea level. You have the Sea of Galilee that's actually 600 to 700 feet below sea level. And to the north, there's Mount Hermon that's 9,000 and some feet above sea level. And so you have this mixture of wind and hot and cold and valley and ravines all settling within the Sea of Galilee. And storms were common to raise up and to raise up very quickly. The men, the disciples who were fishermen, would be used to these storms. They would know how to handle them. They had years of experience. But this storm today wasn't a common storm. In the other Gospels, it calls the storm a great storm. The Greek word used for it is megas, where we get the mega, you know, the mega cup when you go to, you know, sheets and stuff like that. This was a mega storm. And Jesus had brought them to this place that was too much for them to handle. Even with all their experience, with all their knowledge, Jesus brought these disciples to an end of themselves. The other gospels tell how it was dark outside. More watering is coming onto the boat than they can get off. The winds and the waves are tossing them in such a way they had no control. And though we aren't out on a sea or a boat like them, we have our own storms Jesus brings us to, so that we learn to walk by faith. We can lose a job with no fault of our own. We can receive an illness or a diagnosis that we didn't expect that comes out of nowhere. It can be relational conflicts, the passing of a loved one, or just waking up and being overwhelmed with the tasks of the day. Jesus takes us through these storms. He understands these storms completely. He leads us to them to expose our weaknesses, to expose our needs, to expose the idol of self-reliance that we need to crush. We have many idols in life mingled with our faith, and Jesus wants them all removed. And perhaps the one we struggle with most, myself included, is the idol of self-reliance. Strictly to rely on our own intellect, our own experience, our own strength. And Jesus will take us to a place to expose those things. These experienced fishermen were helpless. They were afraid. And they woke him and said, "Master, Master, we are perishing." In Mark 4, they were saying some other things as well. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Sometimes that's what we think when we're in the storms of life. Jesus, do you see? Do you care? The disciples for all this time have been working hard, being with Jesus, assisting him in his teaching and ministry thus far. They have seen great things done by Jesus, great miracles, healings, by the power of his word. They've been doing great things with Jesus and for Jesus, and now they feel abandoned. Jesus, do you even care? He's sleeping. Why would Jesus bring us to this place? We try to understand and make sense of things happening around us, and at times things will just be too big for us to even understand why. And God says, trust. The simple and hardest thing to do at times. Trust. The God who would send Jesus to the cross to die for you, for your salvation, wants you to trust him for all life. And why else is Jesus sleeping? Why is he sleeping? What's he trying to teach us and teach them? He's revealing that Jesus is at peace with his Father's will. Whatever it is in life, Jesus is at peace. He believes that promise. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Jesus is not surprised by the storms. He understands the fallenness of the world, how life can be a mess at times. He doesn't reel back in fear and despair. He simply trusts his Heavenly Father. He understands there's greater purposes going on and a plan, something far greater than what we can understand at times. He can say with Job, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him." In Acts 14, the apostles were telling disciples, strengthening them, encouraging them. He's saying to them, through many tribulations, through many storms, we must enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus, before leaving and going to the cross, he said, I want you to have peace. I want you to know that you can have peace in me. In this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. An old saint, he would say, "My faith can sleep sound on no other pillow than Christ's omnipotence, on Christ's sovereignty." Jesus will take us through storms to reveal our weakness, to reveal our need, to drive us to him. In the midst of the storms, they will be too much for us. but they're not too much for Christ. The disciples in the story finally realized it was too much for them to handle. All their knowledge, all their experience was not enough. In the midst of the wrestling, in the midst of the fear, in the midst of the grief, the struggle, they finally sought out Jesus. Instead of going to Jesus first when the storm came, for whatever reason, they thought, we can handle this. That self-reliance idol. And the quicker we will learn the lesson that we are never self-reliant. We are creations in constant need of the mercies of our Creator for each moment, for each breath, let alone our salvation. We are totally dependent on Christ. The quicker we learn that lesson, the better we'll be in our souls. So the disciples come to the end of themselves and they go to Jesus. Wake up, and Jesus responds. He awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. And Mark, it's recorded, he says, "Peace, be still." And in an instant, it says there's great calm. Mega calm. So we go from a great storm to a great calm. Jesus, while sleeping, shows he's fully human, but Jesus speaking to creation and commanding it to act a certain way shows that he's fully God. As a kid, I often wish I could tell it to rain when I wanted to. Never listened. Or if I wanted to play a soccer game and it was pouring rain, I wish I could just tell it to stop. It wouldn't listen. But when Jesus speaks to nature, nature obeys. In Colossians 1, we're reminded that Jesus, he's the image of the invisible God, the heir of all creation. All things were created by Jesus in heaven and earth, whether visible or invisible. All things were created for him, through him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For in Christ all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. One commentator says, creation's creator is also creation's Lord. In Psalm 89:9, it says, "You roll the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them." Storms will be too much for us, but they're not too much for Jesus. Nothing is too difficult for Christ. And the disciples would go on to see the power of Christ to strengthen them to walk the walk of faith. They would witness many more miracles. They would witness the raising of Lazarus, a man dead for 4 days. They would see their Savior crucified on a cross, resurrected 3 days later. And these things would embolden these men to go from lambs to lions for Christ, ready to be martyred, ready to face the storm of martyrdom for his name, to declare to the Roman Empire and to the world and to us, Jesus is Lord. What is impossible for man is possible with Christ, whether financial storm or a health storm or relational storm, emotional storm, the grave storm. We're called to trust the sovereign, wise, and almighty Christ. He conquered the storm of the penalty of our sin. He conquered the storm of the grave. There's not too much for him to handle. And he says, don't wait to come to me. Don't wait to come to me. What idols are you trusting in when the storms come? Is it self-reliance? Is it alcohol to feel numb, drugs to get a high, sexual morality to find pleasure, music, Netflix, TikTok, ice cream, self-reliance? What idols is he exposing to you that he brings you through storms that he would say, turn from those and turn to me? Whom or what do you turn to when the storms come? He's saying, don't wait. Come to me. And he says to the disciples, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Is it growing? Are you growing with more awe and trust of the sovereign Christ? He said to them in verse 25, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid. And they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" Again in Mark 4, he adds the word, "They were filled with great fear." We go from a great storm to a great calm to a great fear, for they were in the presence of someone who was other. They can't find a category to put Jesus in. As Sproul loves to say, they realized they were in the presence of something more terrifying than violent forces of nature. Disciples understood at that moment, when everything ceased and was calm, they were in the presence of the Holy. They were in the presence of the one who had no category, because he's transcendent, he's other, he's different, he's higher, he's holy. And when you understand Christ and his holiness, he said there's nothing on this planet more frightening than to be in the presence of the holy. That's why it's so beautiful and so gracious of Jesus to welcome the humble and the contrite to receive forgiveness so they can be in his presence. To get the disciples into this point of awe and wonder and reverence of Christ, he took them through a storm. Without this experience, they would not have known the power of Christ in such a powerful way. And God will put us in a place of great dependence so that we be in great awe and wonder of his power and his mercies. Jesus understands the storms of life. Think of his life. He was perfect. He was sinless. A perfect faith towards his heavenly Father. And think of the path that God had him on. Storm to the road to the cross. Jesus loved by his Father, but left alone to die. Betrayed by a friend. Denied by an intimate friend. Forsaken. This was the road. This was the storm for the life of Christ, hard, painful, but why? For a greater weight of glory to come for all eternity. To achieve your salvation, to receive glory, to receive the name that's above every name, Jesus Christ is Lord. J.C. Rao writes, he says, "By affliction, God teaches us many lessons with which out we would never learn. By affliction, God shows us our emptiness and weakness, draws us to the throne of grace, purifies our affections, weans us from this world, makes us long for heaven. In the resurrection morning, we shall all say, 'It was good for me that I was afflicted.' We shall thank God for every storm." Is your faith growing in greater awe and reverence and trust in Christ? When the storms come, God never says, "Worry about it." Never in Scripture does God say, when you're in the midst of trouble, does he say, "Worry about it. Figure it out." What's he say? "Trust in me with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I'll direct your paths." In Isaiah, it says, "You keep him in perfect peace, the man whose mind is stayed on you." I wish it was so easy. I wish it was so easy. Right? Trust, as I say, is sometimes the easiest and hardest thing to do. Where's your faith? John Bloom, again, he says, if we want to learn and experience what it means to walk by faith, then we should expect God to force us out of the classroom of our studies into the field of spiritual battle, where conflict is chaotic, disturbing, disorienting, frightening, depressing, and sorrowful than we ever expected. says it's in these experiences where we learn to really fight, to really trust, to really walk by faith. Where is your faith when the storm is too much to handle? One of the songs we often sing, and it is Well With My Soul, and some of you probably know the story of the hymn writer who wrote the story, Horatio Spafford. He went through so many storms. He lost his 4-year-old son, lost his business to a fire. He wanted to help D.L. Moody in an evangelistic crusade over in England, but he couldn't go, so he sends his wife and his 4 daughters over to England. In the midst of sailing across, the boat sinks, and the only left is his wife. The 4 daughters die. He had all kinds of storms. And as he's sailing over to meet his wife, to comfort his wife as his ship nears the area where the other ship went down, is when he writes the beautiful hymn that we all know. When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. We typically sing 4 verses, but there's 2 other ones I found that he wrote. I'll share them with you as he wrote. He says, for me, be it Christ, hence to live. If Jordan above me shall roll, no pang shall be mine, for in death as in life, thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. Thy sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. It is well with my soul. Things too hard to understand, things too hard to handle on our own, and we look to the Christ who's overcome tribulation. We look to the Christ who overcomes our sin. We look to the Christ who has overcome the grave. And he says, where is your faith? The storms will be too much for us, but not for Jesus. May we learn to say, not only in the classroom, but in the realities of life, God is our refuge. He's our strength. A very present help in trouble. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we believe. Help our unbelief. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are sovereign. Lord Jesus, we thank you there's a plan unfolding. When all around us things don't make sense or are so painful, to know you're working a good plan. To know that you understand the pains and the agonies of the storms. And to know that they're not the end of the story. They're the comma. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to walk with faith, with greater joy, with greater certainty, as you would turn these disciples into lions of grace and truth and mercy, proclaiming to the world the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, that he is Lord. That Holy Spirit, you would help us to believe. That you would melt away the idols that we easily turn to and cling to in the midst of the tears, in the midst of the heartache. May we quickly run to you. That you would reveal your plan, that you would grow in us an awe, a reverence of King Jesus. Lord, we thank you that though you are so holy, you welcome us. You call us to find rest. You say your yoke is easy, to come to you, to learn from you, for you're gentle and lowly in heart. We thank you for these promises. Help us to believe them, we pray, in your mighty name. Amen.